grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have just heard two fantastic stories, one about a serious, life-threatening storm where Jesus and the disciples are in a boat crossing a sea, and Jesus is sound asleep, and the storm is causing the boat to be thrown about in the wind and the waves, and the disciples are afraid that they are perishing. And then the next story that Mark tells immediately thereafter is about this man who has been ostracized from the community. He is still living, but among the tombstones of the dead. He rages and he howls and they try to chain him up and he throws the chains off and he's dressed in tatters and not part of the community. There is something within him that is gripping and controlling him. Trying to put ourselves in the shoes of this man and imagine what his life must have been like, I ran across a story this week that was written by a woman in 2016 whose husband had experienced something that must have been quite similar. It is called The Terrorist in My Husband's Brain, and I'd like to share part of her story with you. She says, I am writing to share a story with you, specifically for you. My hope is that it will help you to understand. This is a personal story, sadly tragic and heartbreaking. But by sharing this information with you, I know that you can help make a difference in the lives of others. My husband's fear and anxiety skyrocketed to a point that was alarming and completely out of character for him. He had a firestorm of symptoms. By winter time, problems with paranoia, delusions and looping, insomnia, memory, and high cortisol levels, just to name a few, were settling in hard. How I wish I could have known why he was struggling, that it was not a weakness in his heart or spirit or character. He was having trouble remembering even one line for his scenes. This loss of memory and inability to control his anxiety was devastating him. For the first time, my own reasoning had no effect in helping my husband find the light through this tunnel of fear. I felt his disbelief in the truths that I was saying. My heart and my hope were shattered temporarily. We had reached a place that we had never been before. My husband was trapped in the twisted architecture of the neurons in his brain, and no matter what I did, I could not pull him out of it. In early May, it was like a 747 airplane coming in for a landing with no landing gear. It was as if a dam suddenly broke and he could not hold it back anymore. I will never know the true depth of his suffering, nor just how hard he was fighting. But from where I stood, I saw the bravest man in the world playing the hardest role of his life. He hated that he could not find the words he wanted in conversations. He would thrash at night and still had terrible insomnia. At times, you would find himself stuck in a frozen stance, unable to move and frustrated when he came out of it. He was beginning to have trouble with visual and spatial abilities in a way to judge distance or depth. Powerless and frozen, I stood in the darkness of not knowing what was happening to my husband. Was it a single source, a single terrorist, or was this a combo pack of diseases raining down on him? He just kept saying, I want to reboot my brain. This fear and terror and uncontrollable outrage and paranoia and internal terrorism could very well have been Legion in our story. The name Legion means many, many soldiers and is appropriate because so many people or things were in his head terrorizing him, which caused him to be cut off from his old life and all the people who he loved and cared about, and who had cared about him but didn't know what to do. But this story is not about Legion. It's from our time, and it was written by a woman named Susan Snyder Williams about her husband, actor and comedian Robin Williams. Robin Williams, who's known for lots of movies like The Birdcage, The Dead Poets Society, Mrs. Doubtfire, and so many others. Someone who is articulate and funny and gifted, and some called a genius, was grasped and affected by a rare disease called Lewy body dementia, which they didn't diagnose until after his death. He lost his life to suicide in 2014. Which is tragic and very, very sad. I was also recently troubled to hear that life expectancy in the United States is declining. After continually rising for almost 60 years, the life expectancy is going down. And what is the reason for this? The Journal of the American Medical Association attributes it to four things. First, drug overdoses, especially opioids, alcohol addiction, suicide, and diseases like diabetes. One expert said that economic hardships and the resulting despair, as well as the sense of hopelessness, is probably to blame for this. Which causes us to ask the question, what kind of storms and chaos and fears bind us in chains? All of us are touched by these things, whether in our own life or by the people who we love and care about around us. It might be diseases that cause us to not be able to do the things physically that we used to be able to do, whether it is cancer or dementia or so many other things. They take over our abilities and we may feel very hopeless and alone. It might be addictions, where at times you're fine and at other times this disease of addiction is controlling you and your actions and you're out of control. It might be mental health issues, mixing up delusion and reality so you don't really know what to believe and can't understand it, and it is perplexing to people around you. Pastor Ruth in one of our adult forums a few weeks ago talked about trying to remove the stigma of talking about mental health issues. And any of these things might gradually or perhaps suddenly grab you and you find yourself cut off from the people who were the community around you. Your world is nothing like it used to be. You feel isolated, alone, fearful. The disciples in the boat felt disconnected from Jesus as he lay sleeping, apparently because he was trusting in God to protect them, something that we as humans strive to do but cannot always have that level of faith and trust on our own. And the man who was among the tombstones felt disconnected from all the people who were in his life. Robin Williams, too, as he struggled with the tortures of his disease, felt disconnected from himself, from others, not trusting in his own abilities. And how we long for the words that Jesus said to stop that storm. He said, "Peace, be still." That is what we want to hear. That is how we want to be connected. The disciples were reconnected when Jesus awoke and stopped the storm. The man Legion was reconnected and wanted to stay with Jesus when these demons were sent out and he was back to who he was. He wanted to be with Jesus who did this miracle and stay with him forever. And surprisingly, Jesus says no to a potential follower and doesn't let him come with Jesus. Instead, he says, "You go back to your friends and family, to your own community, and reconnect with them." So that is another miracle in this story, that the man was reconnected in community. Today we are asking the question of why church, and the answer is reconnection. We all need to be connected in community, especially in a loving community where we share faith together, where we can ponder the mysteries of God, where we can pray for one another when going through tough times, where people know our names, notice when we aren't here, care about us in good times and in bad. I've been amazed in this congregation how we like to gather together for activities, for food, for games like we did on Friday night, how we truly get to know one another. And last Sunday at our intergenerational Love Let Go event, how we lined up around the gym in age order and then divided into tables so we had people of all different ages together. And some of us were sitting with people we didn't know previously, except maybe by sight, but we learned one another's names and started connecting. And church is one of those places where you have these people of all ages, and that's one of the gifts of a church community like this. As I read the statistics about the decline in life expectancy, I also found headlines that said people who attend church live longer. And one expert said that it is something about being knitted into this kind of community that has positive health effects. It helps people cope with stress, and reaching out to others has a positive effect on us as well. Hopefully these are things that you experience here at Prince of Peace, whether you are visiting for the first time or you are lifelong members. We hope that you feel comfortable here, that people know your name or get to know your name, care about you, get to know you on a deeper level than just saying hello on Sunday morning. That this is a place that you feel safe, that you can even be vulnerable and share with others the hard things that might be going on in your life, where Jesus' words, "Peace, be still," actually come to life. Susan Williams, Robin Williams' wife, ends her article by saying that they had a great weekend together, and on Sunday, August 10th of 2014, they went to bed as they usually do, and she says, "When we were retiring for sleep in our customary way, my husband said to me, 'Good night, my love,' and waited for my familiar reply, 'Good night, my love.' Those words still echo through my heart today, because on Monday, August 11th, Robin was gone. He was gone, but he was not disconnected. He was experiencing Jesus' words, 'Peace, be still.' And that is my prayer for you and your loved ones as well. Amen." Let us sing together the hymn, "Beloved, God's Children."